WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning, it's the 15th of February, 2023. My name is Arthur. Well, I'm having some serious technical difficulties this morning. On my end, not on the station's end. I had intended on playing a couple of dramas from last week, but my source isn't exactly cooperating. But luckily I brought, I always have backup. I'm gonna go ahead and play Tom Mix. Play Tom Mix. What do I got here? Yeah. Tom Mix. The Ralston Straight Shooters. I'm not sure when this was originally broadcast. I can get more of that later while I'm working on other things. Go ahead and start this one. Thanks for listening. Sorry.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air. And here comes Tom Mix, America's favorite cowboy.
Johnny, come on, boy!
Trenet Ralston for your breakfast. Starts the day all shining bright. Gives you lots of cowboy energy with a flavor that's just right. It's delicious and nutritious, bite-sized and ready to eat. Take a tip from Tom, go and tell your mom Shredded Ralston can't beat beef.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters bring you action, mystery, and mile-a-minute thrills. Tonight you're about to hear another episode in a baffling mystery. The mystery of the Vanishing Village. How can an entire village, houses, stores, streets, and over 600 people disappear almost overnight without leaving a trace? This is the baffling mystery that now confronts Tom Mix. For the village of Smithville has vanished. Two men have been murdered, and a young girl named Mary Slade has narrowly escaped with her life when someone attempted to kill her because she knew too much. Right now at the Twin Rivers Hospital, Mary Slade's life hangs in the balance. Badly beaten and unconscious ever since she stumbled into the TM bar, Mary is being taken up to the operating room in an elevator, and suddenly, the electric current in the hospital has failed or been cut off. Tom must work fast if he's to save the girl's life. In a moment, we bring you mystery, thrills, and plenty of action.
Newsroom in New York. There's just been an announcement made in Washington that there will be a presidential press and radio conference at 7 p.m. There will be a presidential press and radio conference at 7 p.m. For the news, listen to your mutual station.
Boy, it's the best-looking badge you ever saw. When you wear it, you'll be the envy of your neighborhood. So don't wait. Send for yours today. The supply is limited, so act fast. Here's all you have to do. From the top of a package of delicious shredded Ralston, tear off the little circle with the letters RSS in it. Mail this RSS circle with your name and address and 10 cents in coin to Tom Mix, Box 808, St. Louis, Missouri. I repeat, mail the RSS seal with your name and address and 10 cents in coin to Tom Mix, Box 808, St. Louis, Missouri. That's all you have to do, and we'll send you your whistling sheriff's badge right away. This offer is good only in the United States. And now, straight shooters, let's join Tom, Mike, and Sergeant Hank Smith at the Twin Rivers Hospital. The lights are off, and everyone is in the dark. Listen.
The elevator. The elevator that's taking Mary up on it stops.
There's a price in sourdough to him. That means...
It means that if we don't get it started pronto, that girl will die.
She can't die, Tom. You mustn't let her die.
Hey, who turned those lights on?
Blast it all. I'm attending a patient in here.
Where are the lights? Is the current failed?
Hey, you, one of you. Where's the main switch?
Who in the blazes are you?
Stop asking questions and listen to me. The elevator to the emergency operating room is stopped and there's a patient on it. Someone they've got to operate on fast. Where's the main switch?
Down in the basement.
How do I get there?
Well, the door's at the end of this corridor. If you can find it in the darkness, I know where it is. Come on, I'll lead you away.
That's the way to talk.
Right with you, Tom.
No, no, you stay here with Hank, Mike. No need for all of us to go.
Well, are you coming or not?
Yes, yes, right away. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Can't see in this blame darkness. Here's the cellar door, though. Now, once you step on these stairs, you'll break your neck.
Right. How many steps are there?
Now, keep right on coming. I know this stairway.
I can't see a thing.
I can see you just a little. Well, what's that white stuff you got on your face?
Now, my face is completely bandaged except my eyes and my mouth. Never mind that. Where's the main light switch? Seconds mean life and death.
Just stand there a second. Don't move.
All right, mister.
Oh! Yeah, sorry to do this, Mr. Mix. You were always a pretty good guy. But that girl's got to be put out of the way. I guess by the time you come to, she'll be finished. So I'll just be on my way.
Oh. Oh, I'm dizzy. Sure feel dizzy. Must have hit me with blackjack or something like that. Didn't knock me out, though. Bandages around my head saved me. Just made me feel... numb all over for a second or two. I could hear him talking, but I couldn't move. What's that? Somebody groaned on the floor down here. I gotta get to him. Somebody lying on the floor, moving around a little.
Get away from me. Get away, you...
Oh, easy, partner, easy, easy. This is Tom Mix. Who are you?
Janitor. Janitor of the hospital. Somebody slugged
now,
me.
Now, listen, listen. The main light switch. Where is it? Quick.
On the wall.
Which wall?
I don't know. I can't tell just where I am in the darkness. Oh, am I dizzy? My head...
Never mind. I'll find it. I'll grope for it. Yeah. Here's the wall. I've got to grope along it and keep moving till my hands touch something. Oh, I'm in luck. It's like the handle of a light switch. This way we'll soon find out. Now, the lights are on.
Yeah.
I was right. The elevator started again. Now, partner, let's have a look at you.
I'll be all right. I hope so, anyhow.
You got a bad bump on the back of your head.
Yep.
Did you see the man who hit you?
No, don't remember a thing. He must have hit me an awful clout.
Yeah, I'm afraid he did.
Hey, there's Tom now. Everything's all right now, Tom, thanks to you. The elevator started again and... Sassafras and sourdough. What in thunderation has happened to you two?
Mike, the hombre that volunteered to show me where the main switch was actually the maverick who turned off the current.
What?
Yeah, he was able to see me in the dark because of the bandages on my face, and he slugged me with a blackjack.
Why, the dirty...
This man is the janitor of the hospital. He was slugged, too.
Well, of all the ornery, slab-sided, low-down... Tom, come on, let's get after him. He must be in the hospital somewhere,
isn't he? No, Mike, no. Chances are he's made good his escape. Besides, I couldn't see him in the dark, and he probably disguised his voice. I wouldn't be able to recognize him. And yet, that's funny.
Yeah, what's funny, Tom?
Well, after he knocked me down, he thought I was unconscious, but I wasn't. Just numb from the shock of the blow. The bandages saved me. After he knocked me down, I recollect hearing him say... His voice was kind of far off and sounded strange, but I heard him all right. I heard him say, "Sorry, I had to do this, Mix. You were always a pretty good guy."
Shucks, Tom, that kind of sounds like the hombre had met you before.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring, Mike. I'm convinced the hombre that slugged me knows me well, mighty well. That may help some, not much. Now, where's Hank Smith, Mike?
Well, he hot-footed it up to the floor where the operating room is. Wanted to be sure the elevator got up there all right, and he wanted to be near his girl, Tom. I sure hope she don't die. It'll kill that there boy if she does.
Yes, I know, Mike. Well, there's nothing we can do for him. She's in capable hands. I think we'd better get back to the hotel and see if Hardy Post has shown up yet.
You seem almighty anxious to have a chin fest with that cayuse.
Anxious? Yeah, in a way I am, Mike. In a way I am.
Run, boy, run.
Now, let's ask at the desk if Post has come in yet, Mike. Yeah. And if it... Wait a minute.
Huh?
That's Post standing at the desk now.
Well, waltz me around again, will he? Do they all dress like that in Hollywood? Just look at that there tie.
Well, Mr. Post is a publicity agent, Mike, and he's not noted for being conservative.
That don't make sense.
He seems to be raising the roof at the moment.
You're crazy.
Come on, Mike.
You're crazy. How the Blue Blazers got a whole town disappear?
I'm sure I don't know, sir.
Now, of course you don't. No, brother, I thought I was good at making up yarns, but you got me beat. Now, you get to home of Sam Smith on the telephone and tell him I want to talk to Harlequin Q. Dane.
Dane? Hey, Tom, that there's the Hollywood director that's staying at the TM bar.
Yeah.
Hello, Hardy.
Huh?
Who is it?
Tom Mix.
Well, Tom Mix. Well, say, I didn't recognize you behind those bandages. Well, this is a surprise. Good to see you, Tom. Good to see you.
You seem to be having a little trouble, Hardy.
Trouble? It's insane. This fool behind the desk telling me that the village of Smithville has disappeared and that the great Harlequin Q. Dane, Hollywood's gift to the world, has disappeared with it.
Well, he must have, sir, if he went there.
Look, Q, I'm going to climb right over that counter and break your skull in 17 places if you say that just once again.
Just a minute, Hardy. Just a minute.
Why, Tom, the guy's nuts. He's mad. He's lost his head.
No, he hasn't, Hardy. The town of Smithville has actually disappeared.
What?
Yes, it's true, Hardy. But your friend and employer, Mr. Dane, hasn't disappeared with it. He's staying with me at the TM bar.
We'll leave it to Dane to wangle free board. Only I thought he was going to get it out of the guy who owns Smithville, Sam Smith.
Well, as it happens, he's staying with me, Hardy. I'll explain later. Right now, though, I'd like to ask the desk clerk here how he knows Smithville has disappeared.
Here comes your answer in a body, Mr. Mix. I'm afraid they heard your name.
Hello, Mr. Mix. We represent the press.
Yeah, just arrived an hour ago, Mr. Mix. How's our story on this vanished village?
Shoot us the dope, Mix. What's the game?
Now, hold it, boys. Hold it. Hold it, boys. Hold it. Now, look, fellas. I don't know anything. Leastways, I don't know any more than you do.
No, no,
the world's waiting for this story, Mix.
Come on,
make headlines across the nation.
I'm sorry, boys. I'm sorry. I don't know a thing. If I learn anything of interest, I'll let you know.
You mind if we keep in touch with you?
Yeah, how about it?
Would it do me any good to say no?
Very good.
Hardy. Hardy, if you're anxious to get in touch with your employer, the great Dane, suppose you come on back to the ranch with me.
Oh, Tom.
Say, Tom, if you wouldn't mind. Yeah, I've been cooped up in this hotel room for almost a month, it seems like. And I got to get in touch with Dane.
That's what I figured. Can you ride a horse, Hardy?
Oh, sure.
Then I reckon we can get one for you, and we'll all ride back
now,
together.
Now, wait just a minute. Before you go, Mr. Mix. Sure, you haven't got a story
for us? How about it, Mr. Mix? Just anything at all.
Now, boys, I've told you, boys. As soon as I learn anything, I'll be sure to mention it.
Maybe I shouldn't have been so quick about saying I could ride a horse. How far is the TM bar from here?
Oh, another 8 miles or so, Hardy.
It's a beautiful night for riding, Mr. Post. You ought to be enjoying it.
Oh, sure, I am. Nothing like the great open spaces underneath the stars and the lights of towns down in the valley below you. At least one town.
Where do you see it? Thunderation! Tom!
I see it, Mike. Streetlights gleaming in the night. The yellow lights of windows.
Tom, we must be going loco.
Hey, what's the matter with you two guys? You see a town down there in the valley and you go nuts.
Don't you understand, Hardy? That's Smithville.
What?
That's the spot where Smithville used to be. And now, by thunderation, it's come back.
Well, there's a strange new development for you. What does it mean? What can the answer possibly be to these odd, fantastic happenings just over the county line from Dobie? Have you figured it out yet? Well, you better hurry, because Tom is rapidly beginning to put two and two together. Thrills, action, and adventure lie ahead of us, so be sure to join Tom Mix and his Ralston Straight Shooters tomorrow in the next breathtaking episode of... The Mystery of the Vanishing Village. And don't miss this sensational offer. Sheriff Mike Shaw will send you an exact official copy of his famous whistling badge for your very own. Just imagine wearing an exact copy of the same badge Sheriff Mike wears. Boy, this badge is made of metal, shaped like an official shield, has cross six shooters at the top, and the word Sheriff in big raised letters. And right in the center of this handsome knockout-looking all-metal badge, there's a special siren whistle built in. When you blow the whistle, It sounds like this. Boy, oh boy, all the money in the world can't buy a badge like this. It's not for sale anywhere at any price. But Sheriff Mike will send you one as long as his limited supply lasts. And here's all you have to do to get yours. From the top of a package of delicious, bite-sized shredded Ralston, tear off the little circle with the letters RSS in it. Mail this little circle with RSS in it, together with your name and address, and 10 cents in coin to Tom Mix, Box 808, St. Louis, Missouri. And be sure to enclose 10 cents in coin. Remember the address, Tom Mix, Box 808, St. Louis, Missouri. That's all you have to do, and Sheriff Mike will send you his badge right away. But get your order in tonight, tomorrow sure. They're going fast, and you don't want to be disappointed. This offer is good only in the United States.
Tom Mix was played by Curly Bradley. Don Gordon speaking.
Thank you, lads. That was Tom Mix. I really didn't find anything on that because I was too busy trying to figure out what's going on here with my source. I'll go ahead and fulfill an FCC obligation. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thank you, NHTSA, whatever that is. I'm gonna go ahead and continue with this Tom Mix. I think I got some activity here on my source. So I'll go ahead and we'll finish this and go from there. Still got 10 minutes. Thanks for listening and putting up with it.
Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air. And here comes Tom Mix, America's favorite cowboy.
Hup, Tony, come on, boy.
Start the morning with hot Ralston, and you surely will agree that this warm-up build-up breakfast gives you cowboy energy. It's delicious and nutritious, made of golden western wheat. Take a tip from Tom, go and tell your mom hot Ralston can't be beat.
This is the 50th anniversary of the Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters. And here he is, as he was heard for many of those years, Curly Bradley, Tom Mix of radio.
Howdy, Straight Shooters. This is Tom Mix, and I'm glad to be with you again. And to tell you the wind-up of one of my strangest cases, The Mystery of the Vanishing Village. Let me go back to when Mike Shaw, Hardy Post, and I were riding along the trail and saw those lights of Smithville.
Tom, I don't rightly savvy what's going on here. A whole town popping up out of the nothing where it disappeared.
Hey, wait a minute. I don't know much about this, but I just work in the movies. I don't get paid to go into real danger.
You sit your horse up here on the ridge. Mike, got your six guns loosened in their holsters?
Like always, Tom.
All right, then let's ride. Mike and I took a shallow grade down from the road. It was tough going, but Mike and I knew what we were doing. Then we covered a short stretch of level ground, and then we were pulling up even with the first lighted lamppost.
Sure is quiet, Tom. No music, no dogs, no voices.
You're right, Mike. In more ways than one, Smithville is a ghost town.
But the lights are on, Tom. Who lit the lights?
Who does light the lights in a ghost town, Mike?
You're making the short hairs on the back of my neck bristle up.
Only if you think what somebody wants you to think, Mike. Only if you see what they want you to see.
I can see this village of Smithville, Tom. I can see that it's real. I can lean over and touch the wall of this dry goods store. I can pound on it. It's real. I can feel it.
Yes, Mike. Can you even smell it?
Smell it? Well, I sure, Tom. I can. When I pounded that siding, it raised some fresh sawdust.
Yes, fresh sawdust.
In the beam of that streetlight, I can see that look on your face. You know something, Tom.
No, Mike. Not know it for a proven fact, but I now have a reason to suspect. No, I can't say it yet. But I think we're finally on the trail that will wind up this mystery of the Vanishing Village. Mike and I searched the village of Smithville, but it was as we suspected. Not a living person was there. We had to get back to Hardy Post on the Ridge Road. He was waiting for us. All the same, I was glad we were taking him back to the TM bar where I could keep an eye on him. At the ranch, I took aside one of my oldest compadres. Fakus, now that you're back from the rodeo circuit, can I ask you to do a job that isn't exactly part of ranch work?
I reckon I'm ready to saddle up for any job you ask me to do, Tom.
Well, I knew I could count on you, Fakus. I want you to go over to the hospital where Doc Green is treating Mary Slade. I want you to see that a certain sidewinder doesn't get a chance to strike again.
That snake better keep to his hole.
Fakus told me you wanted to see me, Doc Green.
Oh, Hank Smith. Yes, my boy. I wanted to see you. And I want your help.
For Mary? Oh, anything, Doc.
We've done all we can. There is her mind. Maybe you could say her soul. Maybe the soul isn't the province of a country doctor, but you and I have to reach there.
Ready, Doc.
All right, come along over here. I know she looks pale, but her breathing is regular. I'm going to give her an injection now. Stimulant. Should start working immediately. Speak to her, Hank. Bring her back to you.
Mary? Mary, dear. It's Hank.
She's responding. Go ahead, Hank.
Mary, dearest, can you hear me?
Her eyelids are fluttering. Her eyes are open.
Don't be afraid, Mary. It's me, Hank. Do you understand? Hank.
She knows you now, Hank. It's funny. She seemed almost frightened of you at first.
I know why that was, Doc.
Because she's asleep now. She'll wake in a few hours. Well, we have to leave her now, Hank. It's important she rest. Come along outside.
Doc, how's that little gal doing?
Fine, Pecos. Hank, you were saying you knew what... Well, there's that movie director, Harlequin Q. Dane. Tom and Mike told me about him.
He couldn't have told you what a miserable excuse for a human being he is.
Ah, the sick room where lies the poor, unfortunate Mary Slade, struck down in her youth and beauty by some foul fiend. We must photograph her. Cinema Verity demands it. Photograph her even at death's door.
Oh, brilliant idea, Mr. Dane, brilliant.
Why, you dirty...
Hold on, Hank, hold on. Tom sent me over here to take care of things like this. Howdy, Mr. Dean. My name is Pecos Williams.
That should interest me.
Well, Tom Mix thought you might be interested in me for local color. See, I got a big hat and boots.
Out of my way. I'm going to see that girl.
I even got myself a six-shooter. I favor a single-action model myself. See, you cock it like this. See, the hammer stays back just like that. Harmless. Until you pull the trigger here.
My good man, you have that monstrous weapon pointed at me.
Goodness gracious.
It's perfectly harmless until I pull this trigger.
Don't touch that. I'm getting out of this rural madhouse. Marshal Mitchell, yes, here. Yes,
good work, Pecos.
Hank, there's something I have to know. Something I think Pecos will want to tell Tom. Why do you think Mary was afraid of you at first?
Because, Doc, I look like my father.
How's that?
My father, Sam Smith.
Sam Smith, the man who owns the vanishing village of Smithville.
Mike, we're going to have a little chat with Hardy Post. He still hasn't come down for breakfast, has he?
Hasn't budged out of his room since last night, Tom. Sent down an order of a cookie to send his breakfast up on a tray.
We'll bring Mr. Post some questions to chew on. Come on.
Can't say I care much for that Hollywood publicity man, Tom.
Hardy Post and his boss, the so-called Great Dane, never had a very good reputation in Hollywood. Now, here we are.
Bring it in. Oh, Mix, Sheriff Shaw. Thought you were my breakfast.
Do I look like a fried egg?
To preserve our friendship, Sheriff, I'll not answer that one.
Friendship is a mighty important word in these parts.
You're right, Mike. Now forget about your stomach for the moment, Hardy. I want to ask you some questions.
You take it seriously, don't you, Mix? About being a marshal in this hick town adobe. Hey, you were great in films. All this Western gear here around the room. Can you still use this lariat?
Oh, I imagine I can put a loop on what I have my eye on, Hardy. Let me see. I think you get your rope spinning like this.
Oh, good.
I still know how to put a rope where I want it.
You put it on me. Take it off.
Al, at least the loop isn't around your neck, Hardy. At least not yet. They hang people for murder.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do, Mr. Post. As sheriff, I've seen that look on men's faces before. You know exactly what Tom is talking about. It's as clear as creek water.
Listen, Hardy, I know everything. I know how Smithville vanished. I know how it came back. And I know who's behind it.
You couldn't.
Oh, but I do. You and the Great Dane wanted a hit movie. You'd do just about anything to get the publicity to make a hit. It meant millions of dollars. You two hatched up a scheme to make a whole village disappear from the face of the earth.
How could I talk a whole town's full of people into getting lost?
You and the Dane needed help. And I reckon Dane could spot a man who would do just about anything for enough money. A man like Sam Smith. That's why his boy Hank couldn't take the greed that has come to possess Sam when his whole town seemed to be getting smaller.
You mean Dane got Sam Smith to talk all the people who rented his stores and houses into going into hiding somewhere?
Yes, Mike. For a supposed publicity stunt. Those people owed Sam a lot, and they hadn't seen through him yet, the way his boy had. But Sam still has them hiding out somewhere. Where is it, Hardy? Lion shacks on the mesa? Those caves on Thunder Mountain? Uh-huh. That's it. The caves.
You don't know what you're talking about. How could the village, the houses, the buildings, come and go like magic?
It was magic. Hollywood magic. The movie crew disassembled that handful of buildings in Smithville, stored them, and put them back when the time came. Oh, clever work. But I could smell the fresh sawdust of new construction when Smithville reappeared.
Well, how could you transport all that stuff?
Oh, you shouldn't have asked that one, Hardy. You used the trucking company of Salathiel Albine and the railroad spur managed by Harvey Phillips. And when it got too serious, they threatened to talk. And you lost your head and killed him.
No, no!
Oh, yes. Things were getting out of hand. Mary Slade wouldn't wait with the other villagers. She wanted to see Hank Smith. Then greed-crazed Sam Smith, her future father-in-law, struck her down. Now, that's obvious from the fear she showed when she mistook the son for the father.
You're right, Mix. It's all coming apart. Things going wrong. Why couldn't they stick to the script?
Those are my sentiments exactly, Hardy Post.
Oh, you opened that door quietly, Dane.
Tom, that looks like some kind of foreign gun the Great Dane is toting there.
Where are your yes men now, Dane?
Oh, I don't need them for this mix. I've relied on flunkies too much lately. My problem is that I need a whole new cast.
Yep, you listened a very bad grand hour this morning. My name is Arthur, and this is 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I think I got things situated here, that's why I cut off this Tom mix, which sounds like a reproduction of a radio drama that they did earlier. Tom sounds a lot older, a little more aged. A little more fermented. Anyway, this is what... For Black History Month, I'm going to play Destination Freedom. I've played this before. It's created by Richard Durham in 1948. This one is titled The Knock-Kneed Man. Knock-Kneed, as in the knees, the things above the calves. Aired in Chicago on WMAQ. On the 27th of June, 1948.
Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
Destination Freedom. In cooperation with the Chicago Defender, WMAQ brings you Destination Freedom, a special radio series dramatizing the great democratic heritage of the Negro people, a part of the pageant of American history. The second president of the United States, John Adams, once said, "The world will never forget the noble daring and excusable rashness of Crispus Attucks in the holy cause of liberty." On Boston Common, there stands a monument to his deed. Today, Destination Freedom tells the story of Crispus Attucks, the first American to give his life for American independence. A story entitled, The Knock-Kneed Man.
Boston, the soldiers looked all day and half the night for the knock-kneed man. In the year 1770, when a king wrote the laws of the land, they looked for the knock-kneed man. In Virginia, young Tom Jefferson had just passed the bar. In Jamestown, a slave ship docked with half its cargo dead. In Boston in 1770, freedom was a whisper, while the soldiers searched for the knock-kneed man. In the main square, Captain Cox surprised the guard.
Guard.
Huh? Who's there?
Well, have you seen him?
Who's there?
It's your captain, you fool. Lower that gun.
Oh, well, I thought it was one of the rebels, sir. I thought...
I asked you, have you seen him?
Oh, I don't know what all I've seen tonight, sir. Just a uniform of the king's soldiers makes the crowds fighting mad. They threw stones at us all day, and tonight an old woman spat on me. We beat them down, we knocked their heads in, but still they mill around, waiting for a sign to attack us. What's gotten into the colonists, sir? What's the...
Stop blubbering and answer my questions. I said, have you seen him?
Him? Oh, I don't know, sir.
What do you know? Do you know your orders?
Yes, sir. Capture him if possible. Kill him if necessary.
Then keep your eyes peeled. He'll be here as though he has an appointment with us. What are you nervous about?
Well, it's just that I'm new and I've never seen him before.
Now, you can tell a black man from a white man, can't you?
Yes, sir, but I don't know the particulars.
His particulars don't matter. Once you see him, you know it's him. Where he came from, who his master was, I don't know. His name is Crispus Attucks. Some 20 years ago, he was a slave. Now he leads the crowd. Wherever the rebels are, you'll find him.
In the square, the captain talked, and the guard kept his eyes peeled for the knock-kneed man. Snow fell. Elsewhere in Boston, the knock-kneed man set out to keep his appointment. Walked into the night and thought of a day 20 years earlier when he made his appointment. On that same day, a slave master had walked into a newspaper office with certain particulars for the editor.
Particulars? How many particulars do you stupid editors need to catch one slave?
Well, I'm not a bloodhound, sir.
Do you know who I am?
I haven't the slightest idea.
I'm Cyrus Brown of Farmington. I own the mills your paper comes from.
Well, if you'll just describe your man, Mr. Brown, we'll run an ad every day.
I'm offering 100 pounds for his return.
Well, yes, sir. 100 pounds.
You writing this down?
Oh, yes, sir. His name?
Crispus. Crispus Attucks.
Crispus Attucks. Age?
Near 25. Looks 45.
Mm-hmm. Any identification?
Plenty. Cat of nine tail lashes on his back. He escaped before, you see.
A height?
Big fellow. 6 feet, 2 inches tall. His knees,
Yes?
Knees a bit closer together than the Almighty usually puts knees.
Knocked?
Positively. Mm-hmm. Now, he wore a gray cap, checked woolen shirt, bearskin coat, had on my brand-new buckskin buckle-toed shoes. If he's not wearing brown stockings, he's wearing blue. Only had two pairs.
In a month, the gray cap was black with mud from the ditches. The shoes wore out, and the knock-kneed man went barefooted. In the New England hills, he staggered, slept, stole, fought, pushed ahead while dogs barked and hunters called.
Catch him! Hurry up, catch him! 100 pounds reward! 100 pounds!
100 pounds? Ted, get my gun! Get my gun!
He can't hold off long! Keep looking! He can't hold off long!
He went down by the Quaker's place! Yeah, down that way!
Look, look, he's firing! You can tell by his footprints! Hurry, men, hurry!
Oh, no! He went this way! This way!
He went this way, he went that way, he ran, he walked, he crawled. Then the knock-kneed man staggered into a barn, dropped down on the soft hay, forgot the dogs, masters, whips, fell asleep, and slept on while the cock crowed, and while a girl came near singing. Slept while she ran off and told her father.
Yes, yes, now be calm, Abigail. Reach me my shoes. Be sure it's a runaway slave.
He looks like the paper says.
We should be needing the reward to pay off the king's men. Praise the Lord.
What does he intend to do with him, father?
I'll just let the Lord guide me. Where's the gun? How much reward was it?
100 pounds. But we can't
do... We can. There are quartering troops in every big farmhouse. That much money could pay them off. Pay taxes, too.
But, father, the church says you can't...
Don't remind me of that girl. These like thy mother. Rest her soul. Well, I'm ready. Don't stand there.
What would the Lord say?
Would the Lord want us to be slaves to the king's troops? 100 pounds don't come our way every day. Now, lead the way.
And in the cool morning, while the farmer figured the trigger of his blunderbuss, the knock-kneed man turned on his back as the cock crowed twice and opened his eyes.
Get up and put up the hands.
He just stands there and stares at us.
Keep the hands up or I'll blow the head off.
He looks so tall and thin and tired.
Who art thou? Canst thou speak?
Yes, I speak, farmer. Put down the gun. I'm not here to harm you.
I said, who art thou?
I'm Crispus Attucks.
You see, gal, it's him. Who's thy master?
I'm my own master.
No such thing. He belongs to Brown. He's going back to him.
I'll never go back to slavery alive, farmer.
Then I'll take the bat dead.
Father, he doesn't mean that. The church says to...
Never mind, girl. It's money we need. It's money we'll get.
I say it'll be a dead man you'll get. Do you think I dared the dogs and the hunters and the hunger to be afraid to dare death from you? Stand aside, let me pass.
Stand back!
Going up the road, farmer.
I said I'll shoot!
Then shoot. Step aside and shoot.
Man, for the sake of the Lord, don't force me to...
Then stand aside.
Father, he dropped the gun.
Oh, Lord, what was I about to do? What has death and the fear of the king made me become? Did I escape the oppression in Scotland to become a slave hunter?
Oh, Father.
No, girl. I told you the Lord would guide me, and he did. The cause of freedom is the cause of God. I know it. And unto thee, stranger, thy courage forced me to keep my faith.
Your faith kept me alive. Which road leads to Boston?
Either. But would they have a bite to eat?
A bite to eat. If you don't mind.
Abigail, look alive, girl. Don't stand there gaping. Set the breakfast table. We've got a guest.
The farmer fed a guest who was hungry for more than food. In New York, the people burned the image of King George. In Boston, a whaling ship skipper looked for sailors. Near the Quaker farmer's house, a British captain was on his way to quarter his troops on the farm. Inside, the farmer and the knock-kneed man spoke of ships and sailors.
It's on the sea where they can be free, man. Head for the docks of Boston. Do as I tell you.
Is the sea free?
Oh, for some it is. Find my brother Angus. He's skipper on the whaler. Tell him I sent you.
Is he sending him to Uncle Kirk?
Mind your manners, Abigail. Attucks will be wanting another glass of milk.
Yes, Father.
You think he'll take me on?
Might as well try. It's a rough crew he's got. But thou can take care of thyself.
Father!
Yes, Abigail?
Soldiers are coming up the walk.
Soldiers?
The king soldiers. There's a captain in front. Are they looking for Attic?
No. No, not this time. No, it's for me.
Why, Father?
Open in the name of His Majesty. Open in the name of the king.
Let them in, Abigail. I know what they've come for.
What are they going to say to them?
The Lord will tell me what to do when the time comes. Let them in.
Yes, Father.
You needn't hold me out and hide your valuables, farmer. I am not here to rob you.
Then what art thou here for?
Answer questions. Don't ask them. We need your farm to quarter the king's troops.
Quarter the king's troops? Is there a war?
There's no war. But there are rebels and radicals agitating against His Majesty and His laws. Our soldiers will see that taxes are paid and the laws are carried out. You'll quarter some of them here, unless you can pay for their upkeep elsewhere. Now, if you had 50 pounds...
50 pounds? 50 pounds...
Don't stand there mumbling, Quaker. You have money hidden, I know it. How else could you afford a slave?
He's not a slave.
Well, then who is he?
He is the only free man on my farm.
To be free, the man with the knocked knees left the farm and the soldiers behind. He left with his head full of dreams and his heart pounding for the new, free life. He left knowing that there were other men enslaved besides himself. Other chains, other whips, other slave owners. He came into Boston and looked for a job on a whaler.
Is this Skipper Kirkland's boat, sailor?
Yeah, but we ain't taking on no stowaways. I'll be off.
All I want is work, sailor.
Work? On this ship? You hear that, boys? Tenderfoot wants to work on the toughest ship on the sea. Look, get going while the going's good.
Here. What's going on? What's going on here?
This here man comes aboard, sir, says he wants work.
Well, has the king passed a law against that? What do you know about the sea, mister?
Only what your brother said.
that it's free to some.
Free, he thinks. He's never heard of the king's blockade.
Quiet, men, quiet. We need a sailor, and if a kin of mine sent him, he must be good. You know, we're a whaling ship, man. Winters are tough, works hard. Are you up to it?
I'll make it.
See here, skipper, where'd he come from? He just walked out of nowhere.
That's what I like.
When did we started asking men where they came from? Did I ask you what prison you escaped from, Tom? Did I ask you why you signed up, Dan? You, Joe? Andy? If the new man can stand the work he's on, I'll ask for no pedigree. Only the usual question.
What's that, skipper?
Your name.
Crispus Attucks.
Attucks. On what side do you place your loyalty?
My loyalty?
Aye, with the king or with the colonies?
That depends, sir.
On what?
On what side there'll be freedom for me.
Fair enough. Mate, sign him on. You'll find the townspeople love us and the king's men hate us. We're a clannish crew. If the men like you, thumbs up. If they don't, there'll be the devil to pay. Now you'll be needing an outfit. Mate... Fetch Attucks a pair of pants.
As you say, sir.
You've had a rough time of it?
I won't deny it.
You got those pants, mate?
Here's some that'll fit him, sir.
Well, we'll just measure and see first. Stand up straight, Attucks. Hold your legs straight, man, so I can measure you.
Yes.
Can't you stand straight?
I am standing straight, sir.
No such thing. Are you trying to make a fool of me?
Why, skipper, no wonder he ain't standing straight. He's got knock knees.
Got what?
Knock knees. Hey, boys, take a look at these knock knees.
Well, bless my soul, he stands like an ex, he does.
Mate, look!
Then the knock-kneed man looked down at his own legs, and he, too, began to laugh. The laugh rolled out across the docks. The laughter rolled out and tied the men together. Laughter rolled out in the grog shops, in the town square, in the streets. It rolled out on the ships during the long, cold nights. For 20 years it rolled out while the king made new decrees. It rolled out when the British captain came aboard the whaler and shouted,
"Stop laughing! Stop laughing!"
What are they laughing at?
My men always laugh when they work together, Captain.
Huh?
But there's a strong bond between us.
Now, there's more than a bond between you. There's rebellion in your brain. I'm here to see that it doesn't spread to other ports. By orders of the king, you and your merry men will remain in dock hereafter.
But you can't do that, man.
I can do that and more. Furthermore, one of your sailors has been seen demonstrating against the king's decrees. Will you call him?
I have 40 sailors.
You have one Negro sailor. Will you call him?
What do you want with him?
Call him before me.
Very well. Attucks.
Skipper?
Captain Cox wants to see you.
Oh.
So, you're the one we see with the crowds and wherever there are agitators against the king. Tell me, what do they talk about that draws you to them? They talk about freeing themselves from the king, don't they? They talk about revolt.
Yes, they talk about freedom.
So you're not afraid to admit it. And what do you do?
I listen. I listen and look.
I believe you do more than listen. One act and you'll be hanged. Remember that. We'll look for it. As for you, skipper, keep your men in port. You hear that?
I hear it, but we'll petition the governor against it. Every sailor in Boston will fight this blockade.
And if the governor doesn't answer you?
We'll take our case to the king, if necessary.
And if the king doesn't answer, skipper?
Perhaps then we'll give our own answer, Captain.
The knock-kneed man went out among the townspeople, listening, looking, searching. And the knock-kneed man heard the people saying,
I say, Americans, tell the king to take his thieving troops out of our homes. I say, tell the king to take his troops out of our homes.
I say, no taxation without representation. I say, no laws without our consent.
I say, the way to deal with a tyrant is to tear him out of your system. Tear him out.
I say, give me liberty or give me death.
Give me liberty or give me death. I say colonists, black and white, are born free and not slaves to a king.
The knock-kneed man said nothing. The knock-kneed man explored the hearts of the colonists. In the house of the skipper, the sailors waited, watched the troops march down the streets. Watch the troops march.
Look at them come, Skipper. How many more will they send?
They'll keep sending them until we stop them, until they've beaten us out of our homes.
Why do you keep us waiting here?
To keep you off the gallows. Because there's nothing else to do but wait until the governor answers us.
And why doesn't Addicks wait with us?
Addicks? He's an odd one, he is. New York last week, in Jamestown, in New Jersey. Sizing things up, he says, like he's searching for something. Always searching.
He can stop his search now, Skipper. The king's men have found us again.
Well, open the door. We've done nothing wrong. Open the door, mate.
Aye, sir.
Well, Skipper, what are your men plotting now?
What do you want with us? Why can't you let us alone?
It's you who sent for me, Skipper.
We sent for you?
You petitioned the governor to free your ship.
Oh, of course.
My men are at the door. Obey my orders. Will you stand, Skipper, and receive your answer?
Of course. But what is it?
That's your answer. Now you know what the governor thinks of you and your petitions. Of you and your rebel sailors. Rabble like you roam around the streets yelling freedom this, freedom that. Tonight, keep your rats in their holes, or there'll be a massacre in Boston. Now, do you want to take your petition higher, to the king?
No. Now, Captain, this time we'll bypass the king.
The people were out in the cold Boston night. Soldiers slapped at the crowd with swords. In the night, the knock-kneed man knocked on the door of the skipper's room.
Who is it? It's Addicks. Skipper, it's Addicks. Where you been, Addicks?
Skipper.
Wait. Give him air. Let him rest. Now, speak up, Addicks.
I've been along the coast. I've been in shops and on the docks. I've been out in the square with the crowds.
What are they doing?
They're trying to find a way to be their own masters.
With sticks and stones against rifles, it's suicide. There's no way to beat off the soldiers.
I know a way.
Yes? Yes, Addicks? Well, I like the look in your eyes. Sit here. Pour him a nip of rum, mate.
Aye, sir.
Now, Addicks, you know a way?
Yes, Skipper. It's this way. In New York, I saw the townspeople plant a tree, a dead tree, a flagpole. But they called it their Liberty Tree. It had flags on top of it that said, Liberty, Freedom.
Yes, go on.
They planted it every day. And every day the king's men would cut it down. But they kept planting it.
And why plant it?
Why? So the idea of liberty would grow stronger among the people.
Is that all you've gotten out of your trips? Out there in the streets, our people are being beaten for speaking their minds. Here you sit and talk of planting trees.
You talk of trees and we got a rope around our necks.
Wait, man. Let Addicks finish. You expect us to go out into the square and plant a tree?
Yes, but a different kind of tree. One no army can cut down.
What are you talking about?
I'll tell you. Once when I was a slave, I used to dream of freedom at night. But in the morning, I would wake up still a slave. Then one day, I dreamed I could give my life for freedom. And when I woke up, I was unafraid, and nothing stood my way. Nothing could stop me from helping others win freedom. I could see that if everyone had freedom, no one would need steal it from another man. Only then would we all be safe. That is why I say let's plant a Liberty Tree here in Boston. Even if it cost us our lives. And our Liberty Tree has got to be ourselves. We've got to drive the soldiers from the square.
Oh, you're out of your head.
If we attack the troops, they'll shoot us down like rats. Skipper?
We can't attack alone.
We won't be alone. The people in the square will follow
us. That's foolish. Skipper, you say nothing. You're in command here.
No. What about it, Skipper?
I'm thinking there's sense in what Attic says. Only...
What?
Yes, to strike a blow at the soldiers would let the people know their own strength. Only...
Yes?
We're like the rats who wanted to put the bell on the cat. That bell would awaken everyone in Boston, every man in the colonies. But who'll lead? It'll be sure death. You, mate?
Well, me?
You, Joe?
Skipper, I don't...
Tom?
Don't ask anyone, Skipper. Let's draw straws for it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a job for luck or chance. The man who leads can't waver. He's got to know why he does it and that he'll die doing it.
How can we be sure of him?
I say let him who wants most to be free speak up and strike the first blow.
Skipper, how many men will follow me?
Ten sailors followed the man with the knocked knees out towards the Boston Square. 200 townspeople followed the sailors while the king in London drove to a banquet. In Boston, the captain saw the crowd and the man with the knocked knees and warned the guard.
Guard, he's coming. Call the platoons together.
They're ready, sir. Where is he?
There, leading the crowd, coming this way.
What should we do, sir?
I'll warn them first. Go back to your homes or be shot.
He just keeps coming toward us, sir. He's waving on the others.
Go back or I'll order the men to fire.
He still comes, sir. Look, he's taking a gun from a guard.
For the last time, Attix, in the name of His Majesty, your lord and master,
I come... I can tell your king with our own masters. Tell him...
Fire!
Tell him we are free men.
He's down, Captain. He's down, but the people still pour over the square. Look, he's raising himself.
Go on. You who want to be free, strike the first blow.
Slid under the crowd. In his head, he heard a cock crow twice. He heard bloodhounds bark. He heard sailors laughing. And then he saw the people take the square. The man with the knocked knees had struck the first blow. And news about the Boston Massacre hit the colonies like lightning and hit the key on old Ben Franklin's kite. Patrick Henry's words burned the ears of the king. George Washington left his plantation life. In Boston, the people took the body of a black man with knocked knees and the bodies of white men and planted them like seeds in the same grave. In Monticello, Jefferson dreamed of a declaration of independence. In Boston, Crispus Attucks and his fellows had already declared it. In the night, a new snow fell on the ground where he had planted his living tree.
Destination Freedom, The Knock-Kneed Man, with an original air date of the 27th of June, 1948. That was actually the first episode of Destination Freedom. It's originally aired on WMAQ in Chicago and created by Richard Durham. Featured an all-black ensemble. I typically play at least one during February for Black History Month. My name is Arthur. You've listened to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We'll be back next week. Not sure what I have in store. Thanks for listening.